It's time for school. Rock School. With your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns.
How about you go back to the 1950s next, huh? What do you say?
Okay.
I think that'll just be Quirkers.
And Chad P.
My name is Joe Burns.
I'm Chad P.
I am too, apparently. We're done.
Class is in.
Good afternoon. This is Rock School. My name is Joe Burns, a professor in the communication department right here on this here very campus where we are broadcasting from Southeastern Louisiana University. Sitting to my immediate right, a former student, one who must learn. Who are you?
Chad P.
Chad P. What is it that has 36 black keys, 52 white keys for a total of 88, making up 7 octaves plus a minor third? Can you do it?
That'd be a piani.
That would be a piani, a piano, a piani. I think it's a piano if you play bad Old West music where people like Miss Kitty would dress up and dance.
Yeah.
We're going to do a piano. We're going to do a piano today. It's all the 88 keys. Tickle the ivories today because the keys, the white keys, actually used to be made out of elephant ivory. Luckily, they don't do that anymore.
What about the black ones?
I'm not sure what they made those. I would assume they made them out of ebony wood, but I don't know that, and that will probably be the first email when you get back after the show runs. No, you idiot. They weren't made after that, but that's what I'm going to go with.
We'll go with that.
The first person today, and by the way, I love a good lead piano, somebody that can really play it, and you know why?
Why?
I took piano lessons for about a year.
Yeah?
Guitar is my main instrument, and I can't do it. I can't play the piano because it's backwards. On the guitar, my left hand plays the strings.
Correct.
That's where all the speed is.
Yeah.
That's where all the movement is. On a piano, it seems like my right hand should be doing all of that.
Mm.
And I don't know, I can chord it. You know, if you put it in front of me and say, okay, play a C, a B, a G, that kind of thing, I can do that.
And
you know, you can sing gospel songs over top of my playing. But to actually lead with it and such, my brain won't do it.
Huh.
So when I see somebody play a good piano, I'm really moved by it.
And you respect that.
Fiona Apple McAfee Maggart.
What?
I'd have knocked the McAfee Maggart off it also as well. This is Fiona Apple, Criminal. Her third single. Do you remember the video for this?
Yeah.
It looked like it was on a pornography set. She hates it.
She doesn't like it?
No, she absolutely hates it.
Why did she do it?
They said, well, she did it because she got a hold of this guy named Mark Romanek, who directed the music video. And at that time, he was the hottest thing around directing music videos. And she said, okay, you do what you want. Make this thing a hit. And it's one of these where she looks at it and she went, now, do people really like the song because they like the song? Or do they like it because I'm prancing around, you know, in underwear and such? Well, I like the song because I like the song. Really well put together. This is a song by Apple who said she made a mistake inside of a relationship. She won't say what the mistake is. Cheating, perhaps? I don't know. But she made a mistake and she needs forgiveness. Because if she doesn't get forgiveness, she's a criminal. It won her the 1998 Grammy for Best Female Rock Vocal Performance. Forget the vocals. Listen to the piano. This is Criminal on Rock School. There's a place in France where the naked ladies dance,
Dude, I feel like
got that cobra thing.
Yeah, I feel like the
on.
Cobra's gonna come out of the basket.
There's Fiona Apple, Criminal. where she's just sort of banging on the keys there at the end. Oh, mm-hmm. I love it. I just think that's brilliant. We're dealing only with the piano today. The next two guys we're going to play toured together for a good long time, and they both played on stage. When you got on the stage, when you saw it, they had two grand pianos pointed nose to nose at each other.
Oh, nice. Like now, Piano Wars.
Piano Wars, yeah. I think they actually came out. The one came out and played, the other one came out and played, and then they both came out at the end and played against each other. When you say a grand piano, you know, there's all kinds of pianos. What makes a piano grand?
When you open up the thing and
open up the top, like a car hood. Or a girl can come out and dance on top of it, I guess.
Yeah.
A grand piano. There are actually three grand pianos. A concert grand, the Big Mama, the one I'm talking about, can be anywhere from 2.2 to 3 meters long. 9 feet.
I'm about to say, who measures in meters?
I don't know. The people who make pianos. What do I know? The piano that I learned on was this old thing that I don't know had been tuned forever. We got it out of this old lady's house, and she gave it to us for free. Just get it out of here. And that's the one I learned on. That's the concert grand.
Okay.
The parlor grand, which is a shorter one, can be no longer than 2.2 meters long. And then there is the one that most people know, the baby grand.
Okay.
Well, what makes a baby grand baby? It can be shorter than it is wide. That would make a baby grand. So the concert grand can be 9 feet. Parlor grand, no more than 2.2 meters. Baby grand, shorter than it is wide.
Okay.
This is the first of the two that went out there together. This is Elton John from 1973. This was number one on two charts at once. The top 40 and the R&B chart. Benny. Benny. And the Jets. Come on, kids, shake it loose together on Rock School. Jets. By the way, all of that live stuff and all that whistling, that was all put on by Gus Dudgeon, D-U-D-G-E-O-N, who was the producer and all that. That's all put on there in the studio. None of that was live.
Really?
None of that was live. You're familiar with the MTV television show Unplugged?
Oh, I love it.
Bon Jovi, most people know, was the first one on there, and everybody knows that I'm a Cowboy,
mm-hmm.
which was really the first, I'm making finger quotes here, hit mm-hmm. off of that. But the first show that really sent that MTV show over the rainbow was Elton John. Now, the show was a half hour. And when they contacted Elton John, or from what I understand, Elton John contacted them, they said, you know, we're looking for stars to come on and play this. And Elton John said, well, I'll come do Unplugged, but I won't do a half an hour. I need a full hour.
Ah, good for him.
And the two guys that ran the thing, you know, they said, well, we had to sit and think about it for a split millisecond. Yes, yes, of course, you can have an hour. And I've seen it. He comes out in a sort of a pink jumpsuit with a pink hat, sits down at a baby grand, and for an hour, it's one of those things where you get angry at the TV because they break away for commercials.
Yeah.
Well, you stop doing that, you know,
and he
does nothing but play the hits.
What's your most memorable Unplugged show? Like, which one do you
Oh, gosh, I really love the Elton John show, but I tell you the one, and I'm not a rap fan. I'm not a rap fan at all.
Mm-hmm.
But LL Cool J came out, and it's one of the times that I actually had some respect for the music genre.
Yeah.
Because he came out with a band
mm-hmm.
and performed, and was one of the first times I saw a rap artist as a real musician.
Yeah.
Because he had a band with mm-hmm. him, he performed, he sang, he had backup musicians, and I saw it as more than just a guy talking over a record.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that was one of the first times I actually sat down, watched a rap concert, and went, okay, this guy's talented.
Cool.
That's one of the first times I liked it. Now, who's the second guy I'm talking about
here?
Who
is it? Who plays?
Billy Joel.
Oh, okay.
Billy Joel, the piano man. Well, if you're going to have a piano show, you got to have the piano man. This is from back in 1975 from his album Turnstiles. He put out a couple albums. They did okay. Cold Spring Harbor was the first one. It did okay. There's a Mensa hit. He had something called the Root Beer Rag, and it did okay. This song is called Prelude, Angry Young Man. And the reason I'm playing this one rather than one of his big hits was because I've seen him live twice, once in Cleveland and once here in New Orleans, pre-Katrina. I saw him before Katrina went through. This both times, and as far as I know, it still is, this is the one that he starts his concert with.
Okay.
Why does he start it with it? The reason is it is an explosion on the keyboard. He comes out, takes his hand, lays it on the keyboard, and with his two thumbs does a trill on the G key. You can't miss it. It's the first thing that starts it and really just explodes on the keyboard. It's a wonderful concert opener. So from back in 1975, Prelude, that's the little bit of music at the beginning, and Angry Young Man. Billy Joel, Rock School. That didn't sound too hard now, did it?
No, not at all.
I think first-year piano students should be able to blow right through that. This is Rock School. I'm Joe Burns. You are?
Chad P.
How about you go back to the 1950s next, huh? What do you say?
Okay.
A couple classics?
Okay.
You think so? I think that'll just be corkers. We'll be back in a minute on Rock School. My assumption is if you are listening to this radio program here, you are probably a member of the great state of Louisiana. And if so, do yourself a favor, jump in the car and go to Faraday, Louisiana. Have you ever been to Faraday, Louisiana?
Where's Faraday, Louisiana?
You know what? I could point to it on a map if I had to, and I've been there. And the reason I went there is because our next artist is from Faraday, Louisiana.
Faraday.
His cousin is Mickey Gilley. His other cousin is Jimmy Swaggart. Now, can you do it?
No.
Really? He got his start by getting across what they called the tracks to a juke joint. Juke used to mean dance. That's why when you say a jukebox, it means a dance box.
Okay.
A juke joint called Haney's Big House, where he used to watch the African-American piano players. He used to do that walking bass line. And he used to play the little leads over top of it. He married a 13-year-old girl when he was a 20-year-old man. Her name was Myra Gale Brown, and basically was destroyed here in the United States. He was in London, England, when it was found out that his new bride was only 13 years old, and when he came back, only the Moondoggy would play him. Alan Freed, you still with me? Do you know who it is yet?
Yes.
He was originally billed as and his pumpin' piano.
Yeah.
His nickname is The Killer. Who am I talking about?
Jerry Lee Lewis.
Jerry Lee Lewis from Faraday, Louisiana. When you go up there, look for the old post office. It's been turned into a museum of the music of Faraday, and it's well worth the money to get in. And if you don't mind spending a little bit more money, Jerry Lee Lewis's original home has been turned into a museum. And I did both of them. I spent the money and did both of them.
You had to give me information, man. You can't say Jimmy Swaggart's cousin.
Well, I thought most people knew that kind of thing. The greatest quote, I think, from Jerry Lee Lewis, they looked at him and said, Jerry Lee, what's rock and roll? And he looked at him and went, rock and roll is rock and roll. God bless you, Jerry.
Oh.
God bless you, Jerry. I love it. I love the way your brain works. There you go, piano players. Whole lot of shaking on Rock School.
Come on over, baby. Whole lot of shaking going on. Yes, I say, come on over, baby. Baby, you can't go wrong. We ain't faking. Whole lot of shaking going on. Well, I say, come on over, baby. We got chicken in the corner.
How many times has that song been played in a bar by a guy who has sitting at an upright piano and you're like, go on, Bob, play something for us. That or Great Balls of Fire.
Yeah, man.
How many times has that been played? There you go.
Rock and roll is rock and roll.
Oh, that's his best one. That's just honest to goodness. Jerry, do you know where you are? Sure. No? Okay. We're at half past, ladies and gentlemen. And let me pitch the website. Chad tells me that he is now in charge of the site and has got everything up to date. You got all the stuff on there.
You know.
It's good for you. I'm real happy with that.
Well,
you're going to be setting the stuff up.
We have a great webmaster. I'm not taking anything away from him, but he is getting more and more involved with his classwork, as well he should.
As well he should.
And, you know, I sat down one day and said, gosh
darn
it, he's going to be gone one day, and then what are we going to do? So he and I sat down, he showed me the ropes, and now yours truly, I'll do it.
Good for you. We are up to date. We've got new quotes up there. We've got all of the, in fact, we're up to date except for last week's show in terms of podcasts.
Yeah, that'll be up there today.
That's fantastic. And this show up to date, all of that kind of good stuff. So I have to say something clever to get another quote up there here.
Yep.
And as soon as I think of something, we'll see what we can't do. KSLU.org/rock. Well, no, rock under.
Oh, yeah,
rock
slash.
_ school, or you can just click on the Rock School clipboard or chalkboard over there on the right-hand side, and there you go.
Yep.
You can write us an email from there, or Chad will tell you where to go.
KSLU Rock School at gmail.com. KSLU Rock School at gmail.com.
See, this is what happens when it comes time to do these stumps. I send Chad the playlist, and he then picks who he's going to ask the question off of. And I can always tell you're so much younger than me, about half my age, because you always pick these groups that are, I just don't know a lot about them.
Yeah,
Evanescence.
I do that on purpose.
Evanescence. Evanescence. I don't know much about them.
I could stump you on Evanescence 10 times better than if I sent you an email and said, I'm going to stump you on Bob Seger.
I'd kill you.
I know you would.
Okay, Evanescence.
I strategize.
We're going to play Call Me When You're Sober because it starts cold. We won't be able to talk over it. So, okay.
First big hit from Evanescence was called Bring Me to Life.
Yes.
It features a singer from a band that's based right out of Louisiana. In fact, they're out of Mandeville. Give me the name of his band or his name. What?
Jeez. Oh, you might as well be asking for the keys to heaven.
I got those in my car.
Oh, do you really? Can I get a copy of that at Lowe's?
You don't
you
don't know who it is?
I haven't he's a singer, and is it a popular band? I mean,
well,
it's pretty
popular. I mean, if you're in Louisiana, you should know who it is.
The guy from Pantera.
No, I can't
tell you. I haven't the slightest idea.
His name is Paul McCoy.
Yeah.
They're from Mandeville.
Is he the real?
Huh?
Is he the real?
The real McCoy.
Is he? No kidding. I had no idea.
His band's called 12 Stones.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Because I looked them up, and I looked over all that stuff, and I figured out that they were all formed over playing Meatloaf songs, and the fact that they want to be removed from Christian retail outlets because they're angry. How can you be angry about being called a Christian band?
I don't know, but I remember whenever that was kind of in speculation, and I remember a bunch of guys that came over to my church that had those cell phones where you could download the ringtones.
And they had Evanescence.
They all had Evanescence, and you know, a couple of guys would look at them and be like, what are you doing? You know, that's
it.
Oh, no, they're Christian. They're Christian. We can.
And then the band got upset over that, and they said, take us out of the Christian stores. Why would a band look around and go, let's see, how can we screw up our sales even more?
Yeah.
Take us out of those stores.
Yeah.
There are bands that would, whose very, you know, skin do we have to bring you in order to get into more stores?
Some people don't like to be painted with certain brushes, and that was one they just didn't want to be associated with.
I don't get it.
What can you do?
Formed out of Little Rock, Arkansas. There's only one original member left. That's Amy Lee. She is actually the piano player. She is the one who's singing Call Me When You're Sober. This is Evanescence on Rock School.
Don't cry.
Anne Rice's child, ladies and gentlemen. She's always dressing goth, isn't she?
Yeah, that's okay.
Always
How'd you like to have
goth?
That for your mom? So she could sing you a lullaby every night.
Yeah, that'd be something else now, wouldn't it?
Wow.
We're celebrating the piano for an hour right here on Rock School. I'm going to play one now that's kind of light. In fact, even when we previewed it before we were going on the air, I looked at Chad and I went,
yeah,
is this a little bit light? And he went, no, you got to play this one.
Yeah,
this
you
is
do.
Bruce Hornsby, The Way It Is. It's back from 1986, and it is a song that is dedicated to the civil rights movement. In fact, he makes the statement in the song that law passed in 64. He's talking about the Civil Rights Act of 1964. But another thing that's interesting about it, and Chrissy Hine can also back this up, the song, The Way It Is used as a theme for Sean Hannity's radio show. Are you familiar with Sean Hannity?
Sure am.
He's about, you know, just a touch right of Rush Limbaugh.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Limbaugh basically is scrunched up against the wall on the right, and Sean Hannity, I think, can reach over and touch him. But Hornsby hates that. And that's one thing that it's hard to get across to people who are writing songs. Once you write that song and you have it published and it's out there, anyone who pays the rights to use it can use it. Chrissy Hind hates that Rush Limbaugh is using her song, When I Got Home, My City Was Gone. That's his theme song. She hates that. The problem is he pays the rights to play it. Any song we can, like, that's why when we play the songs on this radio show, we play a drip of, or we pay a drip of money called royalties to pay the music. We don't play this just off the fun of it.
No.
This song by Bruce Hornsby is going to get a royalty charge by being paid on here. And he's been on the radio many times saying, I don't like it, 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 but
he's got to like it when that royalty check comes in.
I guess so. I guess he makes a whole lot of money off it, but you wonder, would he take it off if he had the chance to? Would he give up all that royalty just because of his thought process? I don't know.
Well,
it's going to be used for the show. I guess that's just the way it is.
Did Sean Hannity ever call him and say, yeah, you know, that's just the way it is?
I guess that's just the way it is. I don't know.
Stole my joke.
I know. We tripped over each other. We had the same joke and like two outfielders going for the same ball. Pow! Right in the middle. Here's Bruce Hornsby on Rock School. Stuff.
I'm going to leave you with that one.
No, it's Bruce Hornsby.
Yeah, great minds think alike.
That's right.
But smart people wait for the other to finish the joke.
Yeah, and stand back when the other one tells it. Yeah. Bruce Hornsby right there on Rock School.
We're going to take that song. I really do.
I do too. I think it's wonderful. I liked everything Bruce Hornsby did. He had one of those guys in the band like, I can't think of what the guy's name is. Who did Ants Marching?
Dave Matthews.
Dave Matthews. He has that one guy in the band that's the saxophonist. He also plays about seven other woodwind instruments.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he had a guy in the band, Bruce Hornsby did, that played the mandolin and played about 10 other different stringed instruments that would always come forward and play all these different instruments. And he was always fun to watch when he was live. We got to take a quick break. We're going to come back with a guy who is a roadie for the band. And one day was sitting down waiting for the band to get going, was playing an instrument, and the band looked at him and went, hey, you're good.
Want a job?
You want to join the band? And he turned out to be one of the greatest keyboardists, piano player basically. Every so often he'll touch a keyboard, but piano player straight away. And when their plane crashed, that's when he really came to prominence. He became the spokesperson for the band after the plane crashed. And you'll know who exactly I'm talking about when we come back in 1 minute on Rock School. This is Rock School as we celebrate the piano for an entire hour.
You recognize that bed music?
No, who was that?
That was 12 Stones.
Oh, from the Evanescence you were talking about earlier.
Them.
There
That's
you go.
Them.
Who is a Christian band, as you were telling
12
me.
12 Stones.
Which is why the Evanescence group was yet even more thought of to be a Christian band.
Yeah, they kept saying, they kept screaming, we're not Christian. They said, you had Paul McCoy in there from 12 Stones. They're Christian. What are you talking about?
Putting two and two together, but Evanescence expected you get three.
Yeah.
Leonard Skinnerd has a keyboardist extraordinaire. This guy's great.
He was a roadie?
Great. Yeah. He was hired as a roadie in 1970 and was sound checking the instrument. And he sat down at the keyboard and began to play. And the members of the band looked at him and went, "Oh, my dear. How about you come and join the band, Billy Powell?"
Well, let me ask you this. If he was sound checking the keyboard and then they gave him a job, who was the keyboard? Did the keyboardist get replaced?
I guess he was replaced. I don't even have who the original keyboardist was here.
Wow.
Yeah. He also was, he emerged from the plane crash in Macomb, Mississippi, October 20th, 1977. This is going to come out wrong, but relatively unhurt. His face was fairly well banged up, but compared to what most people also had in terms of injuries. He was relatively unhurt, and he came to fair prominence as the spokesperson for the band after that. Do you they crashed in Macomb, Mississippi. Leonard Skinnerd did. Do you know where they were on their way to?
No, but
Baton Rouge.
Wow.
They were going to play at LSU. Now, there are songs that feature more Billy Powell all the way through, but this song's called "I Know a Little." I want you just to listen to his keyboard solo. It is unbelievable. Billy Powell on Rock School, Leonard Skinnerd celebrating the keyboard. Take a listen to it. Just the solo. Man, it's good. Here we go. Your best. Yeah. I know there's songs that have longer bits of keyboard in it from him, but man, that's beautiful. Wasn't that a fantastic solo
that
right there at the end?
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's my show.
How can you do piano solos like that without developing that Fred Sanford arthritis?
I don't know. I really don't. But man, he's just wonderful. And when you see him, that like every so often on VH1, they'll show some storytellers or something like that. And this guy, he's just really aged up there, and he's just still great. Just absolutely still great. Billy Powell right there and Leonard Skinnerd. We got time for two more. And what's nice about doing a piano show is you can play the guys from way back in the 1950s, and all of their songs are nice and short. So we got time to play two more. I have been asked a couple times by a couple different people, "You do that Rock School show." "Yeah, yeah." "When are you going to do a New Orleans show?" And I thought, that's not a bad idea. So, you know, one of these days I'll actually sit down and put one together. And if you're going to do a New Orleans show, you have to do the Fat Man.
Of course.
The Fat Man, Fats Domino. And a lot of people believe that his song, The Fat Man, from 1949, it was on Imperial Records, was the first rock and roll record ever. He was also covered by Pat Boone, so that gave him yet more credibility. He's got 37 top 40 hits, and if anybody can tickle the ivories with gargantuan rings, this man can do it. Fats Domino, I got a whole lot of loving for you. It's the piano on Rock School. You know why he wrote so many songs?
Why?
Because they were only a minute and 41 seconds long. if he didn't have a lot of songs, his concerts would be over in 30 minutes. So that's why he had so many. We got time for one more, and we're going to finish with the Reverend Richard Wayne Penniman.
Otherwise known as?
Little Richard.
Yes,
Little Richard. He became a reverend after a 1957 tour of Australia, claiming he was warned in a vision of his own damnation. He was flying in an airplane and apparently was given a vision, he claims, by God himself, and said to God, "If you get me down," he's in an airplane, "if you get me down safely, I will give up rock and roll.
Wow.
And he became a reverend
after
that.
Watch out for those damnation visions.
That will
sneak
really
up on you.
Yeah. How many people did the Beatles open for? Not very many, but they opened for Little Richard. They did it in 1963.
Did not know that.
And Jimi Hendrix said of him in 1966, "I want to do with my guitar what Little Richard does with his voice." I'm telling you, if you can play the piano,
burn it.
Try to play it like Little Richard. So we're going to finish up with the man who can play the 88 keys like nobody else, or at least play it like other people want to play the guitar.
Yeah, man.
My name is Joe Burns.
I'm Chad P.
I am too, apparently. We're done. Class is dismissed.
And a hide.